This last decade has been an interesting roller coaster ride for anyone who has investments of any kind. Many of you will have a 401k. The plan pastors have is called a 403b, and I have a modest 403b, and my recent reports over the last few years from the 403b have made me glad that it's a very modest 403b. Because you're not getting a whole lot in return for your investments these days. Savings accounts in banks have been down in the interest that they pay for years. In fact, if you've watched the news, you know that some places in Europe, for some of the deposits, large deposits that are made in banks, they are getting negative interest just to oversee the money of people that they have. Whether you have a 401b or a 401k or a 403b or any kind of investment in whether it's stocks or bonds or savings accounts, I want to tell you this morning that you are making a huge investment every single day of your life. And we all need to check out what the dividends are, what the return is on that investment that we make. Is the investment that you are making going to give you a worthwhile return for all that you have put into it? Did you ever wish that you could wake up someday and walk out and find a treasure? Wouldn't it be interesting? I mean, we read about it happening sometimes. My dad used to have a recurring dream that I remember hearing about since I was a little kid, when he would walk out and find quarters all over the ground. Now, back then when I was a kid, that would have been great to find quarters. Today, maybe not so much to find quarters, but that was a recurring dream of his, that he found this treasure just lying out there. And we all hear of people who discover treasures. A few years ago, there was a guy here in Northwest Ohio who was cleaning out the attic of a relative who had passed away and found this real treasure trove, honestly, of baseball cards, and sold it for, I forget how much, I think it was in the millions that he got out of these baseball cards. Some people, when Mary Faye and I, if we go to the beach for a vacation, invariably we see people throughout our vacation, some who are walking up and down the beach with those metal detectors. I have never heard anyone who actually found a huge treasure. Most of them, they may find a nickel or a dime or a quarter, maybe a lost cheap bracelet or something, but most of them have never found anything much. But if you go and talk to anybody who's using a metal detector, they all have wonderful stories of somebody who found this huge treasure, and you wonder how many of those are actually true, because I've never met anyone who themselves found a treasure. They all heard about somebody like that. But I want to tell you a true story about someone who did find a treasure. In 1989, there was a prospector from Sonora, Mexico, and honestly, he went into Radio Shack and purchased an inexpensive metal detector, and then went out in the desert, where in the Sonora desert, where he knew that there were supposed to be, people had found nuggets of gold in the past. And when he did, for several days, he found nothing but junk. Then one day, his metal detector went off strongly, and this is what he found. It is a gold nugget that is 10 inches long and 7 inches wide and weighs over almost 27 pounds. It is called the Boot of Cortez because it looks like a boot. And he found this using a Radio Shack metal detector out in the desert. And in later years, he sold it. In January of 2008, it was sold at auction for $1,553,500. I'd like to make a find like that. And how they sold it for that amount, because that's much more than what you would get for selling the gold for the going price for a per ounce of gold. But that's what happened. Wouldn't you just once like to find a treasure? It doesn't have to be quite the Boot of Cortez. If I could find just the toe of Cortez, I'd be happy. But some of you already have found a treasure. Some of you have already discovered that. And anyone who is here this morning can discover a treasure that is much better than the boot of Cortez. It will cost you a huge investment, but it is the best investment that you can ever make. And the best investment counselor there ever has been says that what you will get as a dividend, as a payback on that investment is worth it, because it's a very large payback. In Matthew 13, Matthew records a number of stories that Jesus told, and he brings them all together in this one chapter, and we read about stories that he calls parables of the kingdom, because most of the stories begin with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And then Jesus describes something to try and give us a little bit of a picture. We're talking about kingdom life. And so it seems wise to look at some of the things that Jesus says about the kingdom. This morning, I want to look at just one aspect. And then we'll come back to maybe some of those parables later on as we go on. But this one needs to be at the forefront of our attention as we're considering kingdom life. Jesus tells the parable in Matthew 13, verses 44, but I'm going to go on and read 45 too. We don't have that up here, but both of them are very similar. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he just does it in two pictures to give the same idea, is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now look at the picture that Jesus is giving. He is saying, if only we could discover how great a treasure the kingdom of heaven is, then we would want it. We would give anything to possess it. Listen to one author's description of this moment of discovery in Matthew 13, 44. The man who stumbles on the treasure in the field says, "What a find! Unbelievable. I've got to have that treasure, but I can't just take it. That would be stealing. Whoever owns that field owns what's in it. But how can I afford to buy it? I know. I'll sell my farm, my crops, all my tools, my prize oxen. Yes, if I sell everything, I should have enough to purchase the field." And Randy Alcorn goes on to say, "From the moment of the discovery, the traveler's life changes. The treasure captures his imagination. It becomes the stuff of his dreams. It's his reference point, his new center of gravity in his life. The traveler takes every new step with this treasure in mind." You are investing your life. Every one of us here is investing our life. You are investing either in your earthly kingdom or you are investing in the kingdom of heaven. And what you get out of either of these two investments is vastly different, because one is dependent on your ability and the other is dependent upon God's ability. One is dependent, one pays returns only for now, and the other pays returns forever. One is subject to the fluctuations of the economy, to the honesty or dishonesty of others, to the actions of governments and the uncontrollable instability of man. But the kingdom of heaven is subject to the unchanging, perfectly honest and holy, totally stable, rock solid God who loves each one of us without limit. Think with me for a few minutes about this investment this morning. First of all, Jesus gives us inside information. Everyone would like to be able to invest in a sure thing. You want to know what has the best possibility of growing. I look every once in a while at the few little investments we have, and you're trying to make the best assessment on the basis of what you read and what is out there, what is being said about the product and so forth. And I would love it if someone would come along and say, "This investment is guaranteed to multiply at this rate." That'd be wonderful. But the problem is, the closest thing you can get to a sure thing has a name for it, and it's called insider trading. And insider trading is illegal in the stock market. Do you remember what happened to Martha Stewart? Martha Stewart ended up serving a prison term, and the reason for that was because it stemmed from her sale of about 4,000 shares of M-Clone Systems stock in late 2001, and she sold those just before the shares tumbled following a negative FDA ruling about a cancer drug the company was planning to market that the government and the prosecutor said she knew about ahead of time. The reason insider trading is illegal is because it's limited knowledge that only a few people have, and it can enrich a few people, but makes most people lose out, as the other investors of M-Clone Systems stock understood. But Jesus makes it possible for us to invest in a sure thing. He gives us inside information on the kingdom of heaven. And the reason that Jesus' inside information is okay is because he doesn't want it kept a secret. He doesn't want just a few people to know. He wants everyone to know. He spread the news as far and wide as he possibly could during his time on earth, and then he commissioned all of his followers to go out and tell everybody else about this investment opportunity. Because he wants everyone to have a chance to get in on kingdom investment. It's not good news for just a few people, but it's good news for all. Remember what the angel said on the night that Jesus was born. Said, this is good news. This is good for all the people, everyone, everywhere. But just like any investment, it will only pay off for people who make the investment. The reason Jesus' inside information is valuable is because he knows the closing price. There's a bell that they ring at the end of every day in the New York Stock Exchange. They always get some kind of celebrity to come in and ring that bell. And what that indicates is that, okay, closing is, or trading is closed for the day on the stock market floor. And when that final bell rings, the price that is displayed for stocks at the time of that final bell is the closing price for the day. Well, Jesus already knows what the closing price on the kingdom of heaven is at the final bell. He knows what price you will dividend you will receive from investing your life in the kingdom of heaven, and he knows that it's phenomenal. And that it's eternal, and he wants everyone to be able to get in on it. He has already seen the end, and he knows what waits for those who buy in on it, both what joy they can have now, but also the exquisite life that he has for them yet to come. He has already experienced that life with our Heavenly Father, and he knows that there is nothing better that you can experience on this earth or anywhere else, because this life that is coming for us is perfect and it is satisfying. That's why he wants everyone to have that opportunity. And because he knows what a huge return awaits those who are in the kingdom, he encourages us to buy even though it costs everything. He doesn't hide the price. Jesus said the kingdom is worth everything that you have. If you possess everything and let this opportunity pass, he says, you're losing out. Jesus is praising this man who bought the field. He's praising him for his wisdom. He is not pitying him for his loss because he paid everything for this field. He gave up everything that he possessed in order to gain everything that he could never have any other way. His sacrifice in giving up everything he had was minuscule, Jesus understood, in relation to the reward that he stood to gain. And so the return on your investment in the kingdom of heaven is immense. Now, to be sure, I want you to be sure to notice some of the things that Jesus indicates about the price. First of all, it is one price fits all. There are ads on TV and radio that try to encourage you to invest with a particular agency, And they talk about the security that you can feel when your future is assured and you can know that you're going to have a comfortable future because you have enough money coming in. And as they talk, you might think, well, wow, that sounds like a good idea. I want my future to be assured. Maybe I ought to look into that. And then right at the finish of their ad, they finish with a statement like this. So if you have $100,000 to $500,000 to invest, give us a call. I'm with them up to that point. If I had $500,000 to invest, I probably wouldn't be quite as concerned about the security of my future as otherwise. That leaves a lot of us out when we hear an ad like that. But investing in the kingdom of heaven is available to everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live in the world, what kind of income you have, or any other qualifier that might usually be applied to investments. One price fits all. Second thing is, it is a set price. It's not going to go up and it's not going to go down. The price is set the same for every person. One person doesn't get in by giving up 100% of everything, while another person only has to give up 50%. And the price is never going to change. Don't wait for a discount price on the kingdom of heaven, because it has stayed the same price since it was announced and since the way to the kingdom of heaven was opened. It's always been one price. And yet it seems strange because it is a flexible price. And that's so that everyone can enter the kingdom. You don't have to have a certain qualifying credit score to take advantage of this fantastic opportunity. In fact, if you looked at the balance accounts or at the balance statements of people, balance sheets of people who are in the kingdom, you would find that you might think that it costs some people much more than it costs others, because some people, if you were to look at their balance sheet, you would find that they are very wealthy. Some of the people in the kingdom have fabulous houses that they live in. They have important positions in their businesses. They have magnificent talents and abilities. They own businesses. They have large families. That's true about some people who are in the kingdom. But there are others in the kingdom who own very little. They live in a modest rented house or maybe even an apartment, or they aren't seen as very important members of the public. They can barely make ends meet and end up at the end of the month with too much money when the money runs out. They aren't known for their exceptional talents. They may not even have a family. But I repeat, if you look at the balance sheets of those two individuals in the kingdom of heaven, you would think it costs some people much more than others to enter the kingdom, but that's not true. That contradicts the way God views people, because he doesn't view people according to their assets and what they own and the toys that they have. He views people according to their intrinsic value as an individual. And in that way, all are equally valuable in his sight. So the price is the same for everyone. Everything you have, everything you are, is what the cost of the kingdom is. The price is simply all that you have. Do you remember some of the Western movies? I don't know if you like to watch Westerns, but you know, if they're having a poker game in a Western movie, once in a while, a guy gets a peek at another guy's cards or somehow knows what he's gonna have because he's a card shark or something. And what he does at that point, if he knows he has a winning hand, is he goes all in. Remember that phrase? And they shove everything into the center of the table, puts everything on the line. The price for the kingdom is going all in. It is giving everything that you have, life, family, talents, possessions, pride, reputation, future, dreams, everything. It sounds like such a huge price until you really see the treasure. Friends, many of you sitting here this morning have bucked at paying the price for the treasure of the kingdom of heaven because you haven't really truly seen the treasure for what it is. I've only experienced a little bit of the treasure. We can only experience a little bit of the treasure while we're here on this earth. But in realizing even just a small part of the dividends that God gives us through possessing the kingdom of heaven, we know that even just this tiny part of the return on my investment is already worth the price. I've already experienced forgiveness substituted for guilt in my life, joy in the middle of terribly sorrowful moments in life, hope in the face of death when relatives of mine that I care deeply about or friends have died. If they know Jesus Christ, there is this tremendous hope that wells up inside that is assured through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Help in times of need, peace in the center of stormy periods in life. And so much more that many of you could speak of as well. Some of you could speak about things that you have experienced from God's returns to you because you are a part of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is at work in you that I haven't experienced yet. And none of us yet who are sitting here have seen what God has prepared for us, as the apostle says, when we go to be with him. None of us can even imagine what that's going to be like. We just know that it is life forever with the one who has loved us perfectly in a place that is without sin, without darkness, without death, without sickness, without sorrow, in a place that is filled with life and joy and peace and love, and a party that's going to go on forever. Now, you'd think that a deal like this would be irresistible, that everyone would want in on a solid, secure investment like this. So then what are the reasons that people don't invest in the kingdom? Well, here are a few reasons that I can think of. Reasons why people don't invest in the kingdom. Now, I couldn't find the name of the guy. I read this story a number of years ago, and the name was there, and I forgot to write it down. But I looked on the internet, couldn't find the name of the guy. But there was a guy in Florida, in central Florida, who happened to hear, this goes back several decades, and he happened to hear that there was a guy named Walt Disney from out in California who had begun to buy up land quietly in central Florida around the city of Orlando. And this guy knew that there was a place called Disneyland in California and that it had done quite well and that Disney was pretty well known as a guy who made a lot of money. So he just kept this news to himself and he went out, scrounged up all the money he could with everything that he owned and everything that he could borrow, and he began up buying small parcels of land surrounding the area where Disney had bought land or was buying land. And when Disney announced the forming of and the plans for Walt Disney World, land in the area skyrocketed because hotel chains and motel chains and restaurants all wanted to be in on this windfall that was going to come when Disney came into the area. And the guy who bought up all those small parcels of land was now able to sell them to the entrepreneurs, and he became a multi-millionaire. Why didn't other people make the same move? Well, they never heard the secret about Walt Disney buying up land. If they had heard about it, they could have benefited. Now, let me stop right here and say, you can never use the excuse that you didn't buy into the kingdom of heaven, that you didn't invest your life in the kingdom that God has, because you didn't know. Because you're sitting here this morning and I'm telling you about it. You do not have an excuse now when you stand before God and say, nobody ever told me. Yeah, I told you. And if you're sleeping, that's your problem. That's your fault. The news is right here. You are getting to hear this while the offer is still available. Now, they could have made that purchase of that land, assuming, of course, that they believed what they heard. That's the second reason people don't buy into the kingdom. They don't believe. Jesus has told us the true value of things and the true value of the kingdom of heaven. He says the true value of things all the toys you can possess, all the land that you can own here, everything that you can possess here in this world, the true value is nothing compared to the true value of the kingdom of heaven. But many people don't believe what he says. Jesus says that the kingdom is more valuable than everything that you have and that you are all put together. Everything that you could ever hope to earn, all the aspirations of you have that you have, if you pile those all on top of what you already possess and who you already are, they still do not amount to a tiny hill of beans compared to the mountain of wealth that there is in the kingdom of heaven spiritually. Maybe Christians have told others what a wonderful change Christ has brought into their lives, but their friends don't believe. Now, I want to be honest here and say that sometimes the reason people don't believe us when we talk about how great it is to be a Christ follower is because sometimes they don't see that in us. They don't see that we value the kingdom of heaven above everything else in our lives. And usually, the reason we aren't fully experiencing yet is because we're still holding on to a few of the earthly kingdom things. Understand this. It is impossible to grab hold of the kingdom of God with both hands until both hands are empty. I want to say that again. It is impossible to grab hold of the kingdom of heaven with both hands until both hands are empty. And that leads us to another reason why people don't buy into the kingdom. Because, and here I'll use that phrase again that I've picked up from Randy Alcorn years ago and just means so much and says so much in a little bit. They live for the dot instead of the line. Alcorn uses that picture of a dot and a line, and he says that the dot represents life on earth. It begins, it ends, it's brief, but from that dot forward, a life goes on forever. A line goes on forever, and that line is eternity, which Christians will spend with God, and those who are not Christians, who do not experience the kingdom of heaven, will be separated from God for that eternity. Right now, we're living in that dot, but what are we living for? The short-sighted person lives for the dot. The person with perspective lives for the line, for eternity. You see, all of us, all that any of us know right now is the dot. We are taking the line by faith, but faith in the words of a respected investment counselor, Jesus Christ. We have a number of investment counselors. I see several of them sitting in here this morning. And they are wise. And wise people listen to investment counselors. But the wisest of people listen first of all to the wisest investment counselor, and that is Jesus. Listen to what our investment counselor said to the Christians in the church at Laodicea in the letters to the seven churches in Revelation 3, 17 to 19. He said, "You say, 'I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing,' but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see." So let me finish up here. Our investment counselor follows his own advice. Jesus believed in the kingdom and its value. But you realize that he didn't have to give up everything so that he could experience the kingdom. He already had it. He was living it. He had been living it from eternity past. Everything belonged to him. He had this experience of fellowship with the Father in perfection. He already had it. But we didn't. We didn't have the opportunity for that. We couldn't yet do what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 19 to 21. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." But man couldn't do that because the way to heaven wasn't open for us. So even though Jesus already experienced the kingdom of heaven, he gave up everything himself, not to to buy into the kingdom, but he gave up everything himself in order that we might have the opportunity to get into the kingdom. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8 says, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Jesus wanted us to have the opportunity of buying into the kingdom of heaven, and he wanted it badly enough for us who have to give up everything to enjoy it. He wanted it badly enough for us that he gave up everything so that we could enjoy it. Last thing I want to say this morning is to give you the best kingdom investment advice you will ever receive. And that is, it comes directly from the best investment counselor you could have, Jesus. And that investment advice is don't diversify. Now, I know right away, every finance, I'm looking at Sam Adkins and Sam and saying, no, please don't say that. Please don't say it. Because every financial counselor tells you the same thing. Be sure to diversify your investments. Because when your gains in one will offset any losses that you have in another investment. But our kingdom investment counselor, Jesus, says, when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, don't diversify. Don't put part of your eggs in the earthly kingdom basket and part of your eggs in the heavenly kingdom basket. Instead, he said, the most important investment command is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Don't diversify. Throw it all in with him. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Have you found the treasure of the kingdom of heaven? And have you given everything you have in order to own it? Not that you can buy it. I don't mean to say this morning that you can buy it, but Jesus is just saying you have to give all of yourself in order to take and have all that I am offering you. What we celebrate in communion when we come here on the first Sunday of the month is the offer of forgiveness for sin and living forever in that kingdom of heaven. And that offer comes solely through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins in our place. And if you have never experienced that yet this morning, you can by the time I finish this prayer. Did you hear that? You can have the kingdom of heaven. You can experience the kingdom of God beginning to be worked out in your life by the time we finish this prayer, if you just turn to him and admit to God the things that he says you need to agree with him on. Let's pray together. Father, first of all, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you wanted us to have the opportunity to be in your presence forever, experiencing life the way we've never known it. And for those of us who have chosen to invest all that we have, to give up everything in order to possess this great treasure that you have offered us, we give you thanks. But if there is someone sitting here this morning who wants in on that, who has not yet put their faith in you, I pray that right now you would help them to be convinced of those three things that you want them to know. Help them be convinced about the truth about you. Convict them of the truth that you are God, that you are holy, and that you have a right to demand holiness of everything and everyone who is in your presence. Convince them of the truth about themselves, Father, that they are not holy, that they are sinners. And convince them of the truth about sin itself, that it is rebellion against you, that it cuts people off from you for eternity, and that they can never experience the kingdom of heaven through their own efforts or trying to do their best. And then, Lord, if there's someone here whose heart is at that point where they say, I believe that about you and about what you did through Jesus Christ on the cross, and I believe Jesus is the Son of God and that he died in my place, would you help them right now to just turn and say, I receive Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to adopt me into your family. And I turn around from following the world to following you. And would you flood their hearts with that sense of forgiveness and peace and joy and lifted burdens and freedom that comes only through Jesus Christ. And for the rest of us, Father, would you make us so full of joy over this wonderful treasure that you have made available to us, that we share that good news with people around us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.